Welcome to 721 Live. Thanks for listening to the show today. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad that you are with us today. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day out there, and I've got a good topic for us to talk about. Let me just ask you to slow down, block out the distractions, and listen to what your Heavenly Father wants to say to you. It may not be my words specifically, but we both know He's always looking to speak to our hearts. And what I'm going to talk about today is, I title this Freedom. Are you free or are you a slave? But we'll get to that in just a minute. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And our website is www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. And you can go to that site. You can check on the Putting Green blog, and you'll see little mini articles about what we talk about on the radio show, what I'm going to talk about today. You'll see a lot of other things on the website. So check that out. 721 Live at 721ministries.org. Okay, freedom. Now, you know, I started about 3 weeks ago doing some word association with you, and I said, you know, instead of looking to be changed, then I would say that to reset your mind frame and your mindset and go, I don't want to be changed. I want to be transformed. Changed is, you know, that's a little bit of willpower. That's gritting your teeth, and your best you'll get out of it is a C. A C minus, maybe a C plus, but it's just a pedestrian way to approach life, and certainly a pedestrian way to approach your spiritual journey. But to be transformed by God, where He gets into your heart, where Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, moves through you, then you're transformed, and that is what Jesus wants for us. So it's transformed versus changed. Last week we talked about the cross of Christ, and I wanted to emphasize the idea of surrender versus accept. We fall into this trap of it because it's such common terminology in the Southeast, especially. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, let me just tell you, you don't accept the Lamb of God. You don't accept El Shaddai, God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth. You don't accept Him like you get doing Him some favor. You surrender to Him. You surrender your life, your heart, your will. You surrender to Jesus as your Savior. And that terminology, I think, has so much more traction to it. And I think it's exactly what we are doing. We're surrendering. We're not accepting. We're not committing to the commitment. Those types of things come as you go through your journey. But you surrender to Jesus as your Savior. This week, I want to talk about freedom versus rules. And I'm going somewhere with this, so I want you to track with me and pay attention. Freedom versus rules. And there's really another word that I want to say that we'll get to instead of rules. But Jesus said this in John 8, 31 through 32. And you're familiar with this, but just listen. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free, Jesus says. Now, how many people associate freedom with following Christ? I don't think that word jumps to the front of your mind when you think about what does it mean to follow Christ, to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Christ. I think if we're not careful, we think more burdens, or we're being, you know, we've got this list of things we've got to do and these list of things we sure better not do. I don't think that's what Jesus really intends for us. Paul writes, and God inspires him to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. There's two statements that he makes in verse 12, and I'm going to read the first one, then come back to the second one in a minute. Paul is writing to the people in Corinth. When you hear Corinth, think of Las Vegas, wild and woolly place. And they have a saying in Corinth, and probably in Las Vegas too, and certainly probably in America, "Everything is permissible for me." Well, Paul plays on that statement, and he says, okay, everything is permissible for me, in quotation marks. And then he follows it with, but not everything is beneficial. You see what God is saying to us, and I believe it's what Jesus is saying to us also, is look, yes, there are rules, there are commandments, and they're there to protect you, not to prohibit you. They're there to protect you from the harm you'll bring to yourself and those around you, not to prohibit you from having fun. But boy, do you take a step in your spiritual journey when you start looking at things, not so much as right or wrong, although that plays into it, but is this beneficial? So, for instance, you might say, you know, I can play golf on the weekends. Well, there's nothing right or wrong about playing golf, but is it beneficial if you've got five children at home, or two children at home, or one child at home, or a wife at home, or a husband? Is it beneficial to go on that ladies' weekend, or is it beneficial to go do those things that take you away from your family? You know, I don't gamble. It's not something in my life, but a little bit of betting here and there, I don't know. Is that going to send you to hell? I doubt it. But is that beneficial for you? Is it beneficial for you to lead the life, make the choices, versus right or wrong? That's part of the freedom that Jesus was talking about. Yes, we are given rules. They're not rules. They're commandments to help us follow Him and to lead the kind of life that would be beneficial for us. But it's not a straitjacket of rules. It's not doing it. It's doing it more not out of duty but out of devotion. So that's freedom in Christ. But let's go back to what he said. If you know the truth will set you free. And what do you think he's talking about there? And I want to ask you two questions, and I want you to think about this. And it's the kind of thing we joke about sometimes, the first question. What if you suddenly found yourself financially independent? You don't have a care in the world. I don't know if that's $25 million, $50 million, but you got all the money you're ever going to need. You've already paid the taxes on it. How would that change your life? How would that change the way you choose to live day to day? Now, think about that for a minute. And I've got another question coming up behind that. But when I asked the men this week that, you know, I got answers like, well, you know, I think the first answer I got from just about everybody was I'd quit my job. And then I got, you know, travel. They were a little hesitant to say I'd buy the car, I'd buy the house. But yes, that's what we're all thinking. Yeah, I'd buy that car, I'd buy that house. I'd have more time for golf. I'd have more time to do these things. One of the men said, I spend more time with my family. Another man said, I would exhale. And what he meant was, I'd finally be able to relax. Now, it's funny, when we think about this being financially independent, we spend more time with our families and relax. The people that I know that have achieved financial independence through selling a company or taking a company public, the last thing I see them doing is spending more time with their family and relaxing. They seem to just jump right back into it and then just add that. You know, I remember some friends were going to take a company public, and one of the younger guys who was going to come out with $3 or $4 or $5 million said, you know, I like what we're doing. I like this company. What am I going to do when we sell it? And one of the older guys said, well, wear sweaters and pick your children up from school. Well, let me just tell you, none of those guys do that. They all jump right back into the fray. And I'm not condemning that or saying it, but you know, I think we fool ourselves when we think there's certain things we do. But what would you do if you suddenly found yourself financially independent? How would it change your life? And then the next question is, what if you found out you had 1 year to live? 1 year of good health, and then after that you're going downhill and you're gone. How would that change the way you live day to day? Now, some of the answers I got were very similar to the previous answers to being financially independent. Very similar. I'd quit my job. I'd travel more. I'd do things I'd been holding back on. I'd take more risk. I'd spend more time with my family. And then men started saying, you know, I'd start thinking more about what's really important. I'd go back and try to restore relationships. I'd start thinking more about my legacy, about what people, you know, what my life would mean after I was gone. What I want you to get out of both of these questions is there's a freedom that comes from being financially independent. There's a freedom to do things, and there's a freedom from jobs, worries, financial worries, those kind of things. But if you found out you had 1 year to live, I think you'd find there'd be a lot of freedom in that once you got beyond the trauma, because now suddenly you're free from all of the things that you've had the anxiety about because, well, they don't mean anything to you anymore. You know, it's interesting. I asked my daughter of this same question about the financial independence and the 1 year to live, and she said, well, she's in college. She said, well, I quit college. And I said, would you really? And she said, no, you know, I'd stay in college, but I'd quit going to class. And I thought, well, okay. I said, now really, would you do that? Because if you think about it, going to your job or going to class is part of the college experience or is part of life. You know, that's just part of moving through life is interacting with people and doing the things you normally do. And she said, well, you're right, Dad, but what I think I'd do is I'd quit worrying about my grades so much. I'd quit stressing out about it. And I said, see, bingo. That's one of the things I would want you to see. Why don't we do these things now? Why don't we take these things that we talked about that we'd do if we were financially independent or if we only had 1 year to live, and why aren't we doing those now? Well, it would take a lot of trust, wouldn't it, to do that now? It'd take a lot of trust in your Heavenly Father to start living that way, not quitting your job and that kind of thing. That's not what I mean, but living without that stress and without that worry. But here's what I really am trying to get across to you. There's a freedom from things, and there's a freedom to do things. And that freedom from things is just as strong, and I think that's really what Jesus meant more than anything else, is there's a freedom from when you know the truth and you can follow Jesus. a freedom from the things that are stressing you out, that are governing your life, that are really kind of getting in the way of the way you want to live. And so I want to follow that up with another question. What would you like to be free from? And I want you to personalize this. Now, I want to make sure I get this down to where you're really thinking what I want you to think. What do you like least about yourself? What is it you like least about yourself? Because that's really, I think, if you think about it, and you really mine down into the details of this, that's what you want to be free from. You can't forgive. You can't let go of the past. You have impatience. It's hard to feel good about yourself. You don't know how to be alone or be quiet. You're judgmental, envious, greedy. You got those little nasty habits that keep going along that you can't find contentment in life. There's no real peace. Your relationships have a lot of conflict. There's a lot of drama in your life. Those are the things you want to be free from. And one of the men said, when I asked him that question, he said, "Gosh, I'd like to be free from self." And I said, "Well, tell me what you mean by that." He said, "You know, if I'm honest, everything's about me in my life, and I'd love to be free from that." And it just reminded me that Jesus said, "Look, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your cross and carry it daily, and you have to deny himself." We have to deny self. And Jesus didn't say you have to deny yourself a lot of things so much as you have to just learn to deny self, because self is something we all want to be free from. The way you're going to find real transformation is to recognize the things that you want to be free from and to see them for what they are. And here comes the second part of that earlier passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, where God is speaking through Paul, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." And then he says, "Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Now think about that for a minute. I will not be mastered by anything. So might I suggest that those things that you'd like to be freed from are actually your masters. And that means that you are a slave to those things. "Oh, well, I don't like that. I don't like the way that sounds, Sam. I'm not a slave to anything." Well, yes, you are. And yes, I am. God, again, speaking through Peter in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, he said, "For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." So let's pull it back now. We start off with this idea of freedom. And Jesus says, look, when you know the truth, it can set you free. And so we talked about freedom for a few minutes, and then I'm working my way back, and now we say, wait a minute, now these things that we'd like to be free from, could they really be our masters? Could they really be something that we are slaves to? Now, you got to think about that, because I will promise you, you have masters in your life, and they're not what you want to be, your master, and I have them. And that means that we are slaves to those things. And that means that we're not free. We don't have the freedom that Jesus was talking about. Might these things actually be holding you prisoner? And when you look deeply into what you're holding on to, what you have to realize is those things are probably holding on to you even tighter. We'll be back in the second half of the show to talk about mastery, to talk about freedom, to talk about slavery. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad you're with us today. We are talking about freedom, and we're working our way away from freedom and into slavery, which, quite frankly, as humans, we got to be real careful about what we find ourselves being slaves to that we didn't even realize. Because if you have a master, you're a slave to that master. God said that to us through Peter, "For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." God said through Paul, look, it may or may not be permissible. That's one thing. But does it have a mastery over you? And I was thinking about the things that I'd like to be freed from. And one of the things that I really want to be freed from is my limited perspective, my short-term thinking. That I really don't know that I think clearly about things because I have a shorter term perspective. You know, oh my gosh, what is this? How does this impact the immediate future versus an eternal perspective where I can see things through the lens of what honestly is reality. I can see things through God's eyes. So now I can start to see clearly if I can think clearly. And I think I'm getting closer to that truth that Jesus was talking about when he said, if you follow my teachings, if you hold my teachings, then you'll know the truth. Now, I'm going to come back to what that truth is before we finish the show today, but let's think back. What might actually be holding you prisoner? What is blocking you from real change in your life, real change, and to be transformed? Because there's no freedom in being a prisoner to anything. And if we're after true transformation, well, first we have to surrender to Jesus. I mean, we can't even start out down the path until we surrender our heart and our lives and our will to Jesus. But then as we move along more and more, it's just this constant surrender, these things. And really, when we surrender to Him, we're suddenly free, which is not what we think about typically as following Christ. But when we surrender to Him as our King, instead of being a dictator and a taskmaster, He frees us up. So what is the opposite of freedom? It's slavery. And we are slaves to whatever has mastered us. Now, your masters may not be neon light addictions. They may not be the kind of things that just run up red flags, you know, the kind of alcohol or drug abuse addictions or gambling or those things that wreck lives. They may even be acceptable in society. You may work all the time, or you may play golf all the time, or tennis all the time, or you may boat all the time, or you may do lots of things. But if it's to excess and it's taking you away, or it's something that you really couldn't stop, then you've got a mastery. And that which masters us dictates to us. It drives us. It controls us. So what are you mastered by? Is it resentment? I can't forgive. I can't let go of the emotions. Maybe you're mastered by what other people think about me. That's a common malady for us. But I'll tell you this. I would guess that you, like me, if we're not careful, are mastered by this. Listen, what I must have to be happy. What has to happen for me to be happy, that concept in my mind is a master. Now, what is it about masters and slaves? Slaves fear their masters, don't they? Wouldn't a slave fear his master, and why? Well, if you drill down to the core of it, it's because those masters control their happiness. So, is your greatest master what I must have to be happy? And one way you can answer that is to just threaten what you think you have to be happy and watch those emotions just run up. Well, look, that anxiety, that anger, that worry, that stress, that conflict, they're just howling with fear. You see, happiness, as with all feelings, it's okay as a servant, but it's a disastrous master. And Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, says that. He said, feelings in general, they're okay as servants, but they are disastrous masters. And if happiness, one of your feelings, is your master, it is a disastrous master. And I want you to think about this, how fear and happiness play together, because fear is triggered when your happiness is threatened. And think about this. Now, after the 9/11 attacks, financial giving to churches and ministries, and let's just say God stuff, do you know what happened to giving back right after 9/11? It went way up. It went way up. People were giving way beyond what they had in the past. But now we find ourselves in a troubled economy. We find ourselves moving into a recession. And do you know what's happening to giving now to God's stuff? It's way down. It is way down. Now, why do you think that is? Think about that. Giving goes up after 9/11. It goes down in this troubled economy. Well, here's what I think. When 9/11 happened, our country was threatened. Our security was threatened. Our safety, yes, our very way of life was threatened. And all of a sudden, we were panicked. We were scared. It shook us to our core. And what was the result? We rushed back to what's really important, and that's God. That's what we did when our very core was shaken. We rushed back to what's really important to us, and that's God. And that's where our money went, because our money goes where it's important. All you got to go is look at your checkbook, and you'll see what's important in your life. Well, now in today's economy, everybody I know is scared. Everybody I know is full of fear about what's going to happen. And, of course, that's what pushes an underperforming economy, which is typically just a cyclical thing. That's what pushes it into a recession, fear. So what is it we're afraid of? What is it that you're afraid of in this economy? And I want you to be honest with yourself, because most of us are not going to be homeless if this thing continues to roll on and with a poor economy and a recession. Most of us are not going to be homeless. Most of us are not going to go hungry. honestly, most of us will not even have to go without necessities of life. The necessities, of course, in our culture, in our affluent culture, necessities is a relative term. But that kind of plays into it. So now we're afraid because our happiness is affected. With 9/11, our safety, our way of life was affected, and our fear pushed us back to God. Now our happiness is affected, and so our fear pushes us back to, our money. We don't want to part with it because we're afraid of what might happen. Oh, my. Is that really the way we want to display our trust in our Heavenly Father, to tighten up our money because we're afraid? It just goes to show what's really important to us in this time. That's just one example of how fear is such a terrible master, and how we are addicted to and servants to and slaves to what I have to be happy. I've been reading a book recently, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbon, and it is amazing to read. You know, the Roman Empire, that was really, he says that there have only been two superpowers in the history of the world, and that was the Romans, and that's in the United States. And here's what happened. You know, the Romans were set up and founded on a republic and a republic form of government. That's what we're set up on, is a republic. That's what the founding fathers admired. Well, eventually, the Roman people got to where they didn't really care about the tenets of the republican form of government, not republican versus democrat, but the republic form of government, as long as they were happy. And so they gave up their personal freedom. They gave it up to military dictators instead of the Senate and an emperor. The emperor became a dictator, and the first one was Julius Caesar. And after him was Caesar Augustus. And the emperors knew that all they really needed to do to maintain control was to give the people and what they call bread and circuses. Bread and circuses. That's what the emperors knew. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is the word gospel is a Greek word for good news. And what any Roman would have heard, or what any Greek-speaking person would have heard when they first heard gospel, was that's what you hear when it is announced that an emperor is throwing a big bash at the Roman Colosseum. There's going to be a 10-day circus, or there's going to be a huge party. And the people were happy, and they didn't care any longer about their freedom, which was such a strong concept, as long as they were happy. So are you a slave to happiness? And therefore, are you a slave to fear? And that's how I want to finish the talk this morning, is fear. It is rampant in our society. Rampant. It is. We are controlled by fear. We are driven by fear. We are mastered by fear. And we shout out because of that fear, if I don't, it won't. If I don't take this thing under control, if I don't white knuckle it, if I don't make it happen, it just ain't going to happen like it's got to happen for me to be happy. And we are driven to react in fear to our circumstances. When fear is your master, it drives you, it rules you, it corrupts you, it misdirects you, it stunts your growth, it stunts relationships, it stunts your growth with your Heavenly Father. You've got to be honest with yourself. Where is fear a master in your life? Where are you a slave to fear? Because there is no freedom in that, and Jesus said, that is not what I have come to bring you. We read in Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Do not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the way it was. It's for freedom that Christ sets you free. Do not be burdened. Do not allow yourself to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. When we are mastered by fear, we go into a short-term perspective, we can't think clearly, and my claim to my right to myself becomes all important. And it is so destructive. So let's get back to what the truth was that Jesus said. The truth is that your Heavenly Father loves you perfectly. And when you understand this, and you appropriate into your life that your Heavenly Father loves you perfectly, it drives out all fear. When we understand and embrace this incredible, wonderful truth, we're finally free from fear. And we're finally free to find life. We're free from fear to find life. No longer slaves. Instead of reacting, we can respond in faith and trust, knowing that He loves us perfectly. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear. I want to ask you, where is fear a slave in your life? Where are you missing the perfect love of your Heavenly bother, because he does love you perfectly. Each week we publish this on our website. It's on the Putting Green, 721ministries.org. Check that out. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.